Well, I do want to say that I know nobody came or didn't come because of me. That one of the great things that I love about this congregation, as Eric expounded this morning about many things about the congregation, is that you all are here for a purpose. And that is not because of who's up here in the pulpit, but it's because you want to serve the one and only living God. And I pray that that's the message that I can convey to you through the message this afternoon. If you find anything that I have to say that you disagree with or you think is an error, you would be my friend to let me know that, and we can study that so that I could become better in my service in His kingdom. And as you can see from on the board, and I hope those of you in the back can see that, we are going to be talking about the works of the Lord. The fact that the works of the Lord are indeed great. And then we're going to consider, you know, have you studied them? Have I studied them? So it's a message to myself as well as to all of you as we go through. Several weeks ago, I had the pleasure to be able to be out in Colorado for some hiking with Luke and some other family members and friends. And we were able to worship with a group out there near Denver. And the gentleman that had the lesson talked about that is anything too great for the Lord? Is anything too great for God? And you know, I thought that's a great idea. And so I started to do a little research on my own and studying. And then I came to think about all the works of God. And so that's kind of what happened in the study. And then I came across an outline that Brother Mark Copeland had that was talked about the works of the Lord are great. And that's where a lot of the information came from that I'm going to share with you this afternoon about the works of God. We're going to start in Psalm 111. So if you have your Bibles, please follow along as we will be going to quite a few passages for a few minutes. Psalm 111. We'll read the entire psalm, and then this will be our text for the outline. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endures forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He has given food to those who fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He has declared to His people the power of His works in giving them the heritage of the nations. The works of His hands are verity and justice. All His precepts are sure. They stand fast and forever and ever, and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. As you can see, the psalm here expounds upon several of the things that are considered the works of God. And just there's so many things in the psalms that you can do a study on how great His works truly are. David penned so many things that talk about that greatness in him. And if you ever have trouble thinking of your own words, that in your own private prayers of praising God, just go to the Psalms and spend a little time and study there. And that'll help you when you're putting those words from your own heart to talk about how great God is. However, in this lesson, we're not going to look at the things that the writer here mentions. We're going to look at some other works of God that are indeed great. And there's no way that we can talk about them all. This is just a handful. I'm sure you can make a list of your own that you feel are some of the great works of God. And maybe we can discuss those. But just bear with me this afternoon as we look at a few of these that we can talk about together. The works of the Lord are great. How about His creation? You know, it's one of the things that we can see. As I mentioned, I was in Colorado not too long ago, and some others of the congregation here are out there right now. And we've been to other places. And we can see the great works of God just in the things around us. Go to Genesis 1:1. We can quote it, the first three verses there in the Scriptures, where it talks about that great beginning. You know, it says there, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And then God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light." We could go on through the entire creation account and consider all the great works that God made during that creation. We can go out and we can see them. We can just look at them because, and they speak for themselves. As Psalm 19, again, I told you we're going to be going to a lot of passages, and I'll try to give enough time for you to get there. But go to Psalm 19 as we consider these great works of the Lord. The first few verses there say, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat." The creation itself speaks of God's great work. So many times mankind has gone out and tried to disprove God by looking at the things around us, and they can't, because they point to Him. They show His great work. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 also there, and it talks about how the men of that age and even of this age kind of have refused that. But he says that in verse 20 of Romans chapter 1, Paul says, "For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There is no excuse. "Have you studied them? Have you, like David, contemplated their beauty and their intelligent design?" Psalm chapter 8, or the 8th Psalm. Looking at verses 3 and 4 of that psalm, David said, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him?" You know, a powerful passage that I have marked in my Bible. It's not a bad idea to do that very thing. Who is man that you are mindful of him? He cares for us. Of all his creation, man is one of the greatest, and he cares for each and every one of us. And you go out and you can consider all the things that He has made. You know, who are we that He might consider us? We are created in His image. Ourselves alone reemphasize that greatness in God's work. Have you ever been out on a clear night and sat and looked at the stars? That's one of the things Brother Skip Seabree, the preacher in Greencastle, where Marie's folks attend. He, and of course he's from around here, a lot of y'all know him. He is really big into astronomy, and he was on the trip with us, and we look forward to where he could tell us about some of the things when we're out there and see the clear skies when you're away from all the lights. And he had a great way of tying it in to God and His power and the works that He made. We spent a little bit of time each day considering God's great works because we were out there in the middle of it. Job, during Job's struggles, you know, he questioned God. And I'm not going to read all of the Job account. If you have time to read chapters 37 and 38 and 39 of Job. Here's what it says in chapter 37, verse 14. He said, "Listen to this, O Job. Stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Do you know when God dispatches them and causes the light of His cloud to shine? Do you know the balance of clouds, those wondrous works of Him who is perfect in knowledge? Why are your garments hot? When He quiets the earth by the south wind, with Him have you spread out the skies strong as a cast metal mirror." Then go over to chapter 38, and we'll just kind of read a few verses where God answers Job out of the whirlwind and says, and look at verse 4, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements?" Skipping down through there, you know, "When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, who shut in the sea with doors? You know, who shut in the sea with doors when it burst forth and issued from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band. Have you commanded the morning since your days began?" Verse 16, "Have you entered the springs of the sea or walked in the search of the depths?" Verse 19, "Where is the way to the dwelling of light? And darkness, where is its place?" Verse 25, Who has divided a channel for the overflowing water, or a path for the thunderbolt? And you can go back and research. There are things that scientists are studying, and they can go back and say, you know, it was pointed to, it was alluded to right there in Job about the fact that the lightning has certain paths that it takes, you know, the path of the thunderbolt. He talks about the stars and the clusters of stars. Can you lift up your voice to the clouds that an abundance of water may cover you? Chapter 39, again, continues the same thought. Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark when the deer gives birth? All these great creations that we can consider, what great works of the Lord they are. And have you taken the time to study them? Study them truly for that purpose, that they are the great works of God. And even though those works of God can be enlightening and full of pleasure, there are many other great works. What about His Word? The Word that we are reading right here. That's another one of those great works. The works of the Lord are great. Have we taken the time to study them? Go back to Psalm 19, and we'll continue reading there about another one of His great works. I have desired to learn how to sing that song from Psalm 19, and I just can't seem to do it justice. But, it is a beautiful song. And this is where most of that song comes from, starting there in verse 7, talking about God's Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. David knew the value of God's Word, and he praised God for that. We know, and we have other passages we can go to and look at that allude to the power of God's Word. John chapter 6. And again, there's so many places we can go to look at a lot of these things. But in John chapter 6, in verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are Spirit, and they are life. The words of God or of Christ Himself are, again, what's it say? The words that I speak to you are Spirit, they are life. They are life itself. Yes, they tell us about all the things that God did for us, but they are the life-giving words. That's the power. Romans 1, 16 and 17, that's the power of the God. It is the power of God into salvation, that gospel that we have. What did the psalmist say in Psalm 1 about these very words and their power, how great they are? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. A truly blessed man is one who spends time in God's Word, studying that because of the power that it has. It also provides great comfort and hope and guidance. Just a few minutes ago, we quoted Romans 15:4 that talked about why those things were written, why the words of God were put down and written for us, and those things of old, even the ones, the words of the Old Testament. 15:4 of Romans, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, familiar passages because we've spent time trying to put those in our heart, not so we can go around and talk about how many passages we've memorized, but because of the the grounding that we are getting and the putting it into our heart. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We should spend time studying His great works, especially in His Word, because of the power that it has, the hope that it has, the guidance it has, the comfort we can receive from it. I believe this passage was mentioned this morning, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. That's another description of the Word. Hebrews 4 and verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It cuts right to the heart. Another passage that we could say from memory, Psalm 119, 105. It's on the front of our memory books that we have, Psalm 119, 105. "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It is that Word that lightens things for us. It reveals the truth. It reveals error. It emboldens, enlightens the truth. What a great work that God gave us with His written Word. It is a source of comfort and great pleasure to those who study it. Have we been studying it like we should? Another of the great works of God that we want to consider this afternoon is His salvation. Sometimes I have to stop and look at that. You know, as a teacher, you understand, you can talk and write at the same time, but sometimes what you write is not exactly what you want it to be because you're talking at the same time. But His salvation, the work of God through His salvation. Yeah, it's a work. It says that in the Scripture, but it's a work that God gave us. It's one of His works. It's not something we do of ourselves. It's made possible by God's love. John 1, 29. Just look at a few passages here. John chapter 1 and verse 29. "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" It is Him that takes away our sin. It is through Him and His love that we have salvation that is offered to us. We can read again about that great love in John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You can go to 1 John. Parallel passages, really. But if you go to 1 John, and let's look at chapter 4, a couple of verses there. Verses 9 and 10, 1 John 4. "In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." It is through that love that we have salvation. That's the great work that God has given us. Again, not of ourselves. Titus tells us that. Titus chapter 4, or chapter 3 and verse 4. Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. "But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior, toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Now, have you taken the time to study on the great work of salvation that was manifested for us? Romans chapter 6, we're going to spend just a couple of minutes in Romans, in two or three different places there in Romans. So turn to Romans chapter 6. Starting there in Romans 6 and verse 3. It'll help us understand that great work of salvation. It says, Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. That's that salvation that we have from that sin. We can also use passages like Romans 8 to understand more about what that salvation is and what it means to us. Romans 8, turn over a couple of chapters to verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now what great and powerful words that can teach us about that great work of salvation if we just take the time to study. Have we studied them lately? Romans 13. What about that salvation? Romans 13 in verse 11. It's nearer than we realize, because it says here, do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in licentiousness and lewdness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. The only thing that can take away our salvation is us. I'm the only one who can take it away from me, not anyone else. It's my choice, my decision. It's your decision about that salvation yourself. Spend some time studying about that great work of salvation that God gave us. It's great comfort to our souls. But there's also a great work that God gave us in His church. This is something that I have contemplated about a lot, because I believe that it is one of the great works that God gave us for me personally. Eric talked about how wonderful it is to come together with a group of people like this who all have that same bond. And you know, you have so many different talents here and you can get encouraged. That's God's plan for the church, is that we have that bond. And it's a great work that He did give us. Let's just look at a few things and consider it. How did this church come about? We know from Matthew 16 and 18, it says here, when Jesus was still on the earth, that He looked at Peter and said to Peter, I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Whose church is it? It's Christ's church. It was purchased with His own blood. Acts 20 and verse 28, another passage we can go to help us understand more about that work that He gave us in His church, one of God's works that He gave unto us. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. It shows us there that it was purchased with a price, the blood of Christ. It is the kingdom of God. It is the bride of Christ. It is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can go to many passages and read those very things. Colossians 1, 2 Corinthians 11, 1 Corinthians 3. Have we taken the time and actually studied to know about that work of the church? So many other organizations have it all wrong. And I don't understand why. Because there is simplicity in the plan that God gave us in His church. And if you just look at it, it just makes sense. How do we join, become a member of that body? It is not through any great feat. It is through humility. We humble ourselves and simply have to be baptized, immersed in water. Is it the water where the power is? Absolutely not. It is recreating that death and burial and resurrection that took place with Christ. We are showing we are dying to sin and being raised again a new person in a new life. Very symbolic, and you can see the simplicity of it. There's not too many places you can go where there's not going to be water readily available. Might have to drive a little bit for it. Might have to make a little effort, but it's everywhere. Doesn't take the elite to be able to be saved. Anyone who humbles themselves before God can enter into that relationship, work out their own salvation. Think about the memorial that we have here within the church itself. The simplicity of it, but the deep symbolism that is involved. Why were those chosen? Why did God choose to have that unleavened bread, that fruit of the vine? Because they are so readily available, for one thing. But look at them. They symbolize that body of Christ that He sacrificed for us, that He gave us so that we might have that salvation. That fruit of the vine that symbolizes His blood that was shed for us all. And they are readily available. It doesn't take any great amount of wealth to be able to obtain those things. They can be had by all. The simplicity, in contrast with what a lot of the churches of today feel like you have to do, the works that the church has to do, and they don't understand that the work of the church is very simple in what we can do and is laid out for us in His Word that He gave us so that we might have the salvation which He gave us. The church is a great work that He gave us so that we might be able to have all these things. How the church spread, the simplicity of how the church and the Word is spread. Not through any great means, simply one telling another. Just read a few passages. We're almost to the end. But a few passages there, and one of them in Acts chapter 8. It talks in Acts, the beginning of the church, Acts chapter 1, how the Word was spread everywhere. But how did that work go about spreading? In the absolute strangest way, for some people might think. But in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4, the beginning of there, we have persecution entering in the church. Saul himself is one that is mentioned that is consenting to a lot of the deaths, even Stephen's death. And the coats of those who were stoning Stephen were placed at his feet. But then what happened after that stoning and that persecution? Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the Word. They didn't realize that they were one of the great propagation of the Word itself because people went around telling others about it. That's the same thing for us today. All it takes is for us to talk to those around us and tell them about the great works that God has done for us. We can talk about His creation, the great work there. We can talk about that great work of His Word. That's where we need to spend our time with them, talking about is that Word. We can talk about the great work He gave us of salvation. We can tell them the true meaning of the church that He gave us because in all these things, another great work that He has is His promises. We know that His promises are great. We know that they are true. We know we have a great promise of the resurrection. We ourselves will be resurrected. 1 Corinthians 15 talks about that great resurrection. In the end there, in verse 58, where we can have that steadfastness, that hope to endure. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One of those verses that we have worked on to memorize. We can look forward to a new heaven and a new earth, as Isaiah talked about in chapter 65, the book of Isaiah, and verses 17 to 19. Isaiah is another great book in His Word that would do us good to study more. But in verse 17, "For behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing, and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying." That new heavens and that new earth that He talks about, again, are mentioned in Hebrews 11. A great chapter for our faith, to build our faith. In Hebrews 11, beginning there in verse 10, Abraham had sojourned and he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It is not an earthly city. Verse 16, "But now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." We have an opportunity to look forward to that great city that is there. God has promised us these things. And what do we know about God's promises? 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as one count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He's not slack concerning His promise, like man is. He has given us these great works, the great work of creation, that we can see His power in everything, the great work of His Word, that we can have all the guide to our life, the great work of His salvation, that is not something we can get in of ourselves. It is something He has given to us. The great work of His church to help us to have the foundation that we need, the teaching that we need, the encouragement that we need, the great work of His promises that we know are not slack. Have you considered these things? Have you studied on them? Have I studied on them? We need to study more about those works of the Lord and how great they are. There are many more. I'm sure, again, you can think of many other things that would qualify as great works of God that we could spend time studying upon. These are just a few that I want us to consider today. And if you haven't done so, continue studying on those great works. Reflect on the beauty and design of God's creation and spend time meditating on His Word, because that's where we can get all the other messages that we've talked about this afternoon. By obeying His Word is how we are going to achieve that heavenly home that we talked about, that New Jerusalem. So the faith that we have in God has to be shown in our actions. Brother Greg this morning did a great job talking about what we have to do there. That we're going to be judged by all those things that we say, all those things that we do, the things that we don't do, the things that are in our heart, those intents of our heart. And how better to guard those than to spend time studying about those great works of the Lord. If you have not done so, if you have not already committed yourself to Him and to those great works, committed yourselves to serving Him fully by being baptized into that water, that you might rise again a new creature, that we can encourage and uplift you and you can encourage and uplift us, we wish that you would today before it's too late. It is high time to awake out of sleep, for your salvation is nearer today than it was before. Remember that. If you've already started on that journey and you have forgotten about those great and wonderful works and you realize that you are in need of something, you have something amiss in your life, let us know. We want to help you. We want to pray with you and for you that you might repent of those things that are wrong in your life, turn again to that one and only, that we can again have that relationship that God wants us to have in His church. Let us know whatever we can do as we stand and sing this song.